The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump. My hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Was that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, and so does PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. Still raining. I don't know. Kevin, have you heard if the team is practicing indoors or outdoors today?
I haven't heard, but I didn't see anybody up in the big cranes or anything, so I figure probably indoors.
Yeah, they're probably going to be indoor because I think the weather for this weekend is supposed to be pretty nice. Sunny and maybe mid-40s, so not bad weather for December. So it makes sense that why go outside in the rain and, you know, risk somebody slipping when you're not going to be playing in it anyway. So, you know, you want to get as game-specific at this point in the season as possible. So we'll hear from Eric later in the show, but probably the team is indoors today. All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul is coming in as I speak. Where's Andy? Do we know where Andy is?
I believe he's headed to the locker room because they moved the time.
That's right. They moved the locker room on us, huh? To noon? Yeah. So Andy will be here in a moment. And, of course, Eric will be here, you know, when he's by. So we'll hear from him later about what happened at practice, who's practicing, who's not practicing. But we're getting ready for the Miami Dolphins. And people that I'm hearing, Paul, I know that sometimes we hear different people, but the people that I'm hearing talk about this game say, this is a good Miami team. It's going to be a tough game. What do you think, Paul?
I don't think it will be a tough game. I have heard that. So yeah. We're hearing the same things.
Yeah, but you don't think so.
I think Miami is a good team with some talent. I think it will absolutely mail it in this game. I think they are done. They know they're done, and they will just mail it in.
Offensively and defensively?
Yep. Or,
yeah? So
defense was terrible last week. Yeah. Absolutely abysmal.
You're expecting big points from the offense?
No.
No? Not them. I mean the Patriots.
Oh. I think it could be one of those games, yeah. That you could have, like, a ridiculous amount. You know, all of a sudden the turnovers come and, you know, the ball gets rolling. You score like 21 points in like 3 minutes or something like that. I think this could get ugly. I think there's a chance. I mean, I would probably pick something like if I'm picking the game, like Miami's going to show up and play the game, I would probably think it would be like maybe high 20s to teens, like 27-17, something like that.
Right.
I think Miami might quit. And I think this game could get really ugly.
Really?
Yeah.
Like is
43 to 10. Yep.
Is he another one that's going to be gone?
Yep.
Really? Wow. So then that might – there's a lot of credence there, especially when a coach knows he's, you know, a lame duck. You know.
Well, I think that they had – I mean, they had it right in front of them. They had a chance to make this game for the division.
Yeah.
And then they laid an egg.
Yeah.
At home. And I know Baltimore's a good team. I'm not saying that it's like, embarrassing to lose to Baltimore.
But they're not that good.
But they were totally in control of the game.
Yeah.
And I made a point. I just think that it's another one of those coaches and organizations that they're afraid. And they played the game against the Ravens. We got a chance to watch some of the games. I don't know how closely you did, Fred. They had first drive
the Cleveland game.
First drive of the game, they go right down the field and get in field goal range. They had third down in a yard, and they get stopped. This much, you know, like maybe 6 inches. Field goal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that's what they do. You know, it says here in the coaching manual that, you know, take the point. It's nothing, nothing. It's early in the game.
Right.
Baltimore had a drive. I think it was the first drive of the second half. They have fourth down and less than a yard from their own 29-yard line. Inches. Same thing. Inches.
Right.
Flacco, quarterback sneak. He gets it from his own 29-yard line.
Right. That's not, yeah.
They go down and score. Is it because Baltimore's any better than Miami? I don't think so. I think they're both, I think, pretty good teams. I don't think they're as good as the Patriots, but I think they're both pretty good teams.
Not
scared. But Harbaugh's not afraid.
Not scared. Right.
Flacco, not afraid. He might not be good. He might not be as good as, you know, his contract or whatever. He's not afraid.
Yeah.
I think that so many of these teams beat themselves, and I think that's part of the problem. They just don't have the combination of owner, coach, and quarterback that it takes to win.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna fall. But listen, now maybe this is the year they break the mold. Maybe this year they say, you know what, I'm tired of this. This is what we did last year and the year before. We're gonna right the ship after that loss, and they're gonna come to Foxborough and put up a spirited effort. I'll have to see that before I believe it.
I expect the defense for them to play, like you said, spirited up front, but I think a couple quick scores by the Patriots, and I think the
Patriots might run the ball right down their throat.
I think you could,
and that'll be the telltale sign that they've quit.
Right. After that point, I could see them quitting once that happens.
Yeah, I think they could come out and run the ball, and have a lot of success, and that'll be the telltale sign that they didn't show up to play because they're a pretty good running defense. Yeah. They've been terrible lately.
Yeah.
Jonas Gray, do we have to talk about this?
any notable injuries on the Miami defense that we should know about?
Probably, but I don't know about them, so no. I guess they're not all that notable.
Okay. All right. So what else do we have going?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the guys are back. They had Monday off.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to move this up, and this is going to cause a problem because I'm going to have to go to All Access at some point. Hopefully it'll be after they get back from the locker room.
Right.
But normally we have from 2 to 2.45. 2 to 2.45, and they moved it to 12:15 today. So I don't know exactly what to expect in the locker room. I don't know if it's because of...
Well, I think anything. It has to do more with the conference calls for the visiting team today. Because tomorrow...
They moved the locker room time.
No, I know.
The Patriots. That has nothing to do with the conference calls.
Well,
Patriots locker room.
But Belichick
changed.
Has to talk to the Miami press and all that stuff.
But what does that have to do with the locker room being open?
Well, that affects practice. Because, I mean, tomorrow they're back to 2 o'clock. It's just today that they switched.
No, I know. But I don't think it has anything to do with conference calls.
No. Well, that's the only difference between today and tomorrow.
But they've changed the time of locker room constantly over the last month.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's for. I don't know if it's something about coming back from the West Coast. I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
Don't know.
It's annoying.
Well, it's tough because the show gets affected.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, they do it because they want to affect the show.
Right.
That's why they're doing it.
It's all because of us.
Right. Yeah. They know what we're doing, and they know how popular we've become.
That's right. We're still basking in the glow of the San Diego. People still talking about that. Everyone I speak to say, oh, that looked like a great time over there. And it really was. It was the most enjoyable road trip I've ever had, except for, you know, a playoff or Super Bowl road trip.
Playoff? Yeah. Well, you can't. Yeah, you're right. You can't compare it to a playoff win. But, yeah, it must have been pretty cool.
It was. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. I feel like we don't have much to talk about here.
Well, nothing's really changed since the last time we talked. That's why, because we haven't had a chance to really do anything.
Right.
So, I mean, I Rob Gronkowski's cat pictures, you want to talk about those? Like, I mean, I'm not all that interested in that.
His
ESPN
article came out.
I don't know if the article is actually out yet, but there was pictures that were out with, you know, him posing with a little kitten. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, it's not exactly flattering. I don't know why they have to do these things to athletes.
Yeah.
But
like Brady with the goat.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of pitchers that I'm going to guess that he's going to get some ribbing about from his teammates.
Do you think it has to do with the P word? Why they posed him with that?
I don't know. Maybe.
He likes kittens, if you know what I mean.
I don't know, Fred. What are you trying to say?
You know what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Is he
not a dog person?
I don't. Well, but you know what I mean. Who's the pussy now? Well, there you go. I'm just wondering if that's the hidden meaning there.
I don't know. These people are very deep. They're much deeper than me. Fred, all I know, I'm just a sports guy.
All right.
That stuff is way too deep for me.
Well, let's get a early start on the phone call.
Yeah, let's see what the listeners want to talk about. Then we'll go from there.
All right. Let's go to our Marcel in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
You good?
What do you got?
Everything good?
Yeah.
This just made my day. Did you see the quote Geno Smith said? He says, I've shown flashes of being a Pro Bowl quarterback.
What is it about the Jets that they just have to do things like that?
Thrown interceptions, sixes. He's even worse than Matt Schaub.
Yeah. Anyway, Geno Smith came into the league with that kind of mouth. You know, before the day he was drafted, he said they were going to make the playoffs that year. He hadn't even won the job yet. You know, so.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, those things usually backfire.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
It's karma.
It is.
Anyway, talking about more relevant things. I'm really excited about this week. I thought, I only watched the broadcast, and I heard the fans through the broadcast. It was really good. Like, it was cool seeing all those fans. I think San Diego did a really bad job selling all their tickets to Patriots fans. But I really enjoyed seeing it on TV, and I hope one day I could be a part of one of those trips. Anyway, getting on to Patriots news. Patriots question. What do you think the chances of Darrelle Revis actually staying on the team for 2015, and think that actually might happen?
You know,
yep.
I think it might happen.
I think it's got a good chance.
I really do. I think that he's. I think he's worth paying a lot of money to. Whether it's $20 million, I don't know. Maybe they spread that out a little bit more and give him more up front. So at the end of the day, he's making the same amount of money, you know. But I think they should find a way to keep him here, and I think he deserves to be paid a lot of money to do so. We've seen he just – no matter what you do next year to replace him, it's not going to be as good because he's the best. And you've got him here. Why would you let him go? Why would you let him go? What are you going to do with that money that's going to make you as good or better than you are now? I don't have an answer to that.
I agree, and people always blame Belichick for being cheap.
Yeah, this
by history shows that when he has a good player, he refuses to let him go.
That's true. I mean, or they made, good effort. I mean, this isn't like Mankins or, anything like that. This is a guy that is at the top of his game right now. Right now. So I will be very disappointed if he goes to another team and he's making about the same as he's contracted to right now. I'll be very disappointed at that.
Yeah, I think there's a reasonable chance. Now the only thing that it's unfortunate because I think it works against you if you end up winning. If you end up winning the Super Bowl, I think there's a better chance that he says, I'm just gonna take the most I can get.
Right.
Now I don't know. Is that a swap? I think that's a swap people probably be willing to make.
Sure.
Be unfortunate. Yep.
But even then, I mean, do you think another team's going to be willing to pay more than $20 million in a year for him?
No.
Yeah.
You do?
It's Darrelle Revis.
Yeah.
With a bonus?
His
His annual value will not be $20
million. Yeah.
But it won't be for the Patriots either.
Yep. But you've seen him play, and I mean,
he's unbelievable difference maker.
Showtime.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, take that money and tell me what you're going to do with it to make you as good or better. When you have a shutdown corner like him, that's so valuable in this league. I don't see how they can better spend that money.
Kraft's going to call up the Brink truck. Just back it up to Revis' house.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I could see being better spent if they won the Super Bowl and Brady said, I'm retiring, and you had a chance to go out and spend a lot of money on a quarterback that you knew was going to be a franchise quarterback, that would be as good or better spent money. But other than that, there's
you can't put a price on the difference that Revis has made, in my opinion. I think he's completely, and you said it, you were calling him a transformational player a long time ago, and that is exactly what he's been.
He was a Jet that I had the utmost respect for. So oh, yeah. you know he had no,
and,
to be,
and we all
and did. I hate the Jets.
But I'm talking about right. the impact that he's yeah. had on the Patriots has been so obvious on how he's changed the whole defense.
I've always liked Revis. I've always thought that what he does is phenomenal. And I understood how hard it is what he does. So, you know, I knew right away, I mean, as long as he was healthy, he was going to change this defense. He was going to make it, right. you know, allow us to do things that we weren't able to do in the past. All right. Thanks, Marcel. Let's go to Chris in Perth. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you going?
What's up?
Look, two things. First of all, I think we're going to smash and embarrass the Miami Dolphins this week.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, obviously. Second one is a selfish reason I'm calling. I'm going to be in New York for the Jets game.
Okay.
And I need some advice of what to do. I've never gone to a game. I've spent a lot of money on some tickets.
How long are you going to be there for?
I'll be there for the week.
Oh, jeez. Where are you staying?
Some hotel my missus picked.
But is it in Manhattan or outside of
New
York?
Yeah, in Manhattan.
Okay, so
in Manhattan.
I mean, obviously you want
to. You can't go wrong. You have plenty to do.
There's so much to do there. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I can't give you all the specifics because I'm not a New York City guy. But you're in the heart of New York City. You'll be.
Yeah. Oh well, I'm more concerned about game day because I've got tickets. Behind the Pats bench for game day. What happens before the game?
What happens before the game? Jeez. I mean, the teams start warming up like an hour and a half before the game.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, you know, it's just so regular pregame.
If you're looking for autographs, I wouldn't. Yeah, I can't guarantee that.
You're not getting any of that.
You know, you might see Robert Kraft sometimes. You know, he'll come out, and if he sees a lot of Patriots fans by the wall, he'll come and definitely shake some hands and sign some autographs. So that might happen if you're down there. What's that?
Yeah, I guess in Australia assume everyone in America does the tailgate and all that sort of stuff.
They'll be tailgating in the parking lot. I don't know what your situation is in terms of transportation to get there. But, yeah, people will be tailgating before the game.
Yeah, that's a very similar setup to New England in that they have an expansive parking lot area. So there's a lot of tailgating that goes on in the Meadowlands. But do you really want to associate with these people? You know.
Well, I'm looking for more of a Pat section. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to look. It's not like San Diego where Patriots fans are going to come in and take over the game. Now, this late in the season, maybe there was a lot of secondary market. Maybe a lot of Jets fans at this point sold their tickets to Ace Ticket, and maybe Patriots fans picked them up. So, you know, I might be surprised, and maybe there are a lot of Patriots fans in the stands. But usually when we've gone to the Jets, it's mostly green.
Fair enough. Yeah. Is there a Patriots bar or anything before the game?
Well, not in the direct area, but I would go on to patriots.com/fanclubs and type in the zip code, the New York zip code. You know, New York or Northern New Jersey, any one of those zip codes, and it'll display all the bars, you know, that claim to be Patriots bars.
Brilliant.
I know in Manhattan there's several, but you don't need to know that because you're going to be at the game.
Right.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. But guys, thanks a lot. I love your stuff. I very rarely get to listen to you live, so thank you.
All right, well, one thing I will tell you, Chris, if Saturday night before the game, if you're in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is just over the border of Manhattan, I'll be at Arthur's Steakhouse. So if you want to meet up there, that's where I'll be. Yeah, Arthur's is a great place.
Okay, all right, done.
Arthur's in Hoboken, New Jersey.
I'll see you on Saturday.
All right. Okay, Chris.
So you're headed to Arthur's again, huh?
Oh, of course I am.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, definitely. We should make it a meetup. Maybe, you know, we can take over Arthur's. You know, Patriots
who are you going with?
Maybe remember Rocky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably meet him there. And whoever else wants to go.
Rocky.
Silverman will probably go.
It was a blast from the past.
Yeah. I met him there a year ago.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
He likes...
He likes a good steak?
He's still with Playboy.
Yeah.
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 He says he speaks to Hugh Hefner once a week. Every Friday.
What does he do exactly?
He's an editor.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Good job.
PFW. Yeah. Springboard for all careers, except for mine.
Let's go to Chris in New Brunswick. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, Paul. Andy and Eric not in yet?
Not here yet.
Andy will be here soon. Eric will be here probably a little later because he's going to go to practice as well. By the end of the show, we'll all be together.
Hopefully.
Okay. What's the weather like down there?
It's raining. We have a nor'easter in progress, and I think until tomorrow it's going to be very wet. But Sunday for the game should be pretty nice.
Yeah, very similar to us. We have a lot of rain up here. Anyways, yesterday I know there was a lot of talk about the Browner hit. One question that I'd like to pose is, why can't we do the same way that they do in college football? In college football, if there's a hit, it's under review.
Yeah, the penalty's not under review. The ejection's under review.
Well, okay, so let's go to that step and say, okay, if we're really concerned about the headshot, which we are, if there is a headshot, helmet to helmet, you're objected out of the game, get kicked out. It's under review. That would deter the players from saying, okay, I can get away with this. It's going to hurt them. Let's do it. And it's under review. That hit on Brown, that Browner gave to Green, would have been reviewed.
Yeah.
They would have said, okay, it wasn't a head-to-head.
Right.
It was a high hit.
It was shoulder-to-head.
But
yeah.
It's turned over.
It would have been a penalty, but it just wouldn't have been a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Well, I disagree with that, but it wouldn't have been helmet-to-helmet. Right.
It would not. It was definitely not helmet-to-helmet.
Right. But
I don't. But it would not have been overturned on a review.
Yeah.
Paul's opinion.
It wouldn't have been reviewed?
And Dean Blandino's opinion, too.
I don't trust his opinion.
He said it wasn't a helmet-to-helmet hit. That's where the officials erred, according to Dean Blandino.
Okay. Anyway, okay. Getting harsh like college does, I'm not definitely opposed to that. I mean, it sounds really bad, but I think in review, if it obviously looks helmet-to-helmet, you know, it's hard to judge intent, but if it looks like the player, you know, did it, you know, with the intent to do helmet-to-helmet, maybe he should be ejected. Maybe that's the only way to really, you know, stop it. I know most football fans would vehemently disagree with that, you know.
I know we would disagree because we got a wimpy. We're turning in football into a wimpy sport where if there's any
right, that's the argument.
Hitting and stuff like that, we're throwing flags and stuff like that. And I don't want that. But I do believe that if we're going to crack down on it, we do have to go with some force in that way. If someone's going to miss the game, like Browner, if he was kicked out of the game, I think Bill would be sitting down with him to say, okay, enough of your shenanigans. You do it again. You're sitting out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think the larger point is they should be reviewed. I you know, whether it's because of an ejection or just to see if it really is a penalty, I think they should review these plays.
Okay. The other point is, I know we were talking about it's a hat and T-shirt game on Sunday with Miami. Now, throughout the season, we usually play to our opponent. You know, we've lost to Oakland. We've lost to Miami before. What do you picture as a trap in this game? Do you see a trap? Do you see not going away with the win? Or
I don't see a trap.
I don't think it's a trap.
No. And when you say playing
The other two games could be a trap, but Miami, I think, is, you know, they haven't done it. The Patriots haven't done anything yet. The Patriots need to win these games.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a trap.
Okay.
And plus, I think that in a lot of cases, teams play up to the Patriots. I think they really get up for the Patriots, too. So that's part of it. It's not always the Patriots playing down to their competition.
Down to the opponent.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I know Marcel had mentioned about Payne Revis. Now, wouldn't it be the Patriot way to watch a quality player walk away? I mean, we looked at Welker walking away, and we took in Amendola, who we're going to turn around this season and probably get him off the bus. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's been quality players that we've let go. I mean, Welker was one, Vinatieri was another, Deion Branch was another, but
Samuel,
who? Well, he was never here.
But Asante Samuel.
I thought he meant Emmanuel. I thought he said Emmanuel.
No, Asante Samuel.
Asante Samuel in the defense.
He'd be another one. But I think there's also cases of when they had someone they thought was worth it, they kept, they extended, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely arguments to be made on both sides. They've let some guys walk, I think, in their prime, and they've re-signed some guys to make them the highest paid guy at their position in their prime, like Logan Mankins.
Just like any other team.
Logan Mankins re-signed, and he was the highest paid guard. I mean, some guys that they've re-signed.
Yeah, Will Fort.
They have honor for.
Seymour, at the time, was very highly paid, his second contract.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. It's only my second time calling, but give a shout-out
for
Patriots fans all over the world.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Good stuff.
Nick Baby Love wants to talk to Paul. Hey, Nick Baby Love.
All right. What do you got, Nick?
I got an awful lot. Obviously, I'm dying of frostbite here in Miami. I'm just joking.
Okay. Rub it in. Rub it in.
Just doing some maintenance. I came up with Sexy Fred from All My Friends in the Music Business. It's from Right Said Fred.
Right.
So we're going to do something for you on that. As far as a comment you made, everybody shows up for the Patriots. They're the team that everybody loves to hate, so everybody's going to give them their A game. I think you guys know I'm tweeting now, and, you know, the Dolphins are talking so much smack.
Are they really?
The Dolphins are a mess. The Dolphins are arguing with each other. Jared Odrick was yelling at Joe Philbin, like, and now they're both saying, it's no big deal. They're a mess. It's a sinking ship.
No, exactly. I agree with you. And I live here, and I, you know, even though I'm a Worcester guy and Patriots all the way, I would like to see them. You know, I would like the. I think your Buffalo and Miami. In other words, I want our guys to stay sharp. Even the Jets are going to give us a hard time. I mean, I'm enjoying the journey. I see. Like I've told Felger and Maz going way back, Paul, and I know Eric and Andy are out there. I just see the journey. I just see really in my heart that this is real, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you feel it in your bones?
You know, I think you're right, Nick, and I think the team feels it too. I think they sense something good is going on, and the chemistry in that locker room is really good. I mentioned a plane trip home that, you know, I've never seen guys that happy on the way home after a win. And I think they see something within the locker room that, you know, they know they can go all the way with this team.
You know, and that's why, you know, there's such a big picture to this. I just want to enjoy it. And I want your fans to know, I mean, obviously I'm not only the greatest Patriot fan ever because I'm old school, but I'm a big supporter of PFW, and it has nothing to do with, look, and I'm going to argue with you guys, I'm going to agree with you guys, but example, you had a call that had just called from Australia, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I even though I'm disabled, you know, everybody knows that I've only been tweeting for 3 days because of my eyes, you know, the last 4 years. So the guy in Australia there, hey, look, I'm with PFW, I'm down with them for life. And that guy wants to know about New York City. Hey, 954-292-3211 is my cell. Call me. I'll hook you up. You mentioned Arthur's. There's plenty of places. And why don't we show him the hospitality he deserves? I mean, he should go to Harlem and see my boy African Mbata. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm here to...
You're just pleasing them all, Nick. You're here to take care of everyone.
This is the way I roll, Paul. Look, the thing with Miami is real. They are coming by my house. They're having fun. They're going to watch the game with me Sunday. Me and 10 other Dolphin fans. And you want to get a week ahead of yourself? I really want to come to New York, and I might. But guess who lives 2 miles from me, and they invited me to a party?
Who?
I've known him since high school.
Frank Sinatra. Who?
Oh, Geno Smith.
Oh, really?
He lives down the street. I know the family very well. He went to Miramar High Patriots.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, you know, and just to finish it, I really appreciate the time. A kid who is really, really great, Kevin Collins, a great producer. He knows I'm sending up a care package. But the first thing when I called up, he says, Nick, you called the John Lester thing at 7 p.m. yesterday, And that's going to be a whole fight. I know we're talking Patriots, but I wish people would investigate my Twitter, because I knew 2 weeks ago from radio people in Tampa and in Chicago, and I'm just telling the truth, and all I want to do is support PFW. You know what
What's
I mean?
Your Twitter handle, Nick?
Well, everybody's going to teach me. Look at Andy sent me a thing. You know, I'm learning. You know what I mean? I mean, no, in other words,
well, what's your name on Twitter? Is it at?
Oh, okay. It's the at baby loves to learn. Or one of them geeks has got to reactivate that. Well, what I'm using right now is NBL music. At NBL Music Salerno.
Okay, you got to shorten that up, but at NBL Music Salerno. All right, we'll get that out there.
Thanks,
so people,
Nick.
Yeah, Nick, we'll talk to you next time. Nick's on Twitter for the last 3 days.
It's been 3 days.
And he called the Lester thing early, so yeah. You want to follow Nick if you want the inside scoop. Let's go to Melvin from Tennessee.
Menasee.
What's going on? That's his new name, Menasee.
What's up, Fred?
Hey.
To get on a real quick topic, I guess, speaking about the playoffs and stuff like that coming up, what are y'all's chances? I was thinking about it yesterday. Now, I think we got a probably, you know, pretty good chance of having the two rematches. I don't know, like, I see the Chargers, Kansas City, kind of Pittsburgh, kind of floating in between that. Do you all think that we have two good chances of having two rematches at Gillette? As far as
two
like,
rematches, you know, at Gillette.
Yeah, because I guess I mean we played all those teams, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we played the Colts and
sure. I think there's a real good chance of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of that, you know, something else, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I guess I can say that they're pretty good, I guess, drafted like those field positions. Don't you think? I think Le'Veon Bell, and this is really off topic, but just thinking about the you know, the players that they've acquired and drafted in there, those are some really good skill position players. I've kind of not really paid attention to it. Even back to Minnesota, who I thought was pretty good. But that Bell kid's good.
Yeah, they do a good job drafting, historically and lately. But they're a team that, you know, when a guy gets up there and his contract, they let him go. You know, they build through the draft primarily.
Right, too. And this is the last thing I'll say and I'll get off, but do you all think, I mean, I was really, prior to this year, really thinking that Dennard was going to be a pretty good key role to this team, even maybe later on down in the line, but
I did.
Just about, yeah.
I did. I'm stunned by the turn of events with him. Now, Browner has exceeded my expectations, so I guess you haven't been affected by it, but I can't believe that Dennard has fallen from starter to inactive. And he's more or less inactive every week.
And it's not like other than Revis or Browner that someone else has really emerged. And it's like, oh, Malcolm Butler, man, he's so good. We can understand.
No, to the contrary, guys have taken. I mean, Arrington has been good, but Ryan has not been
right.
good.
So it's not like anyone has like emerged to be the clear number three guy. It's just,
right.
I don't know.
Oh, Arrington has emerged to be the clear number three guy.
Well, in the slot.
That's the number three guy.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, that just really let me down because he was really solid. I thought, he was a really solid number two corner. I thought that we got, seventh round?
Yeah.
And then he just kind of floated into the.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be higher and he slipped. But,
it's
very surprising. I always thought he was, you know, a pretty good cover guy.
I thought he did a good job. Yeah. Now, was he perfect? No, he was not perfect. He got beat. But evidently. They feel like there's more potential with Butler because they keep giving him opportunities, Malcolm Butler, to be that extra guy on the outside. I understand why they have Arrington and Ryan inside, you know, but I don't really understand why Dennard has fallen so far. Yeah. But
all right, thanks, Melvin. Let's go to –
it's probably another off-season topic with the whole guys come in the defensive backfield and they play at a level as rookies, and then they seem to not play at that level in their second year.
Yeah. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian. What happened? Oh, I must have.
Christian's not.
Did I hit the wrong button?
Did you just hang up on him? You must have just
hung
up.
I must have.
Yeah, he's not even there.
Sorry about that. Call back, Christian. We'll get you right back on.
Fred's fat thumbs again.
Daniel from Utah. I thought I hit the right button. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, guys?
He didn't hang up on you, Daniel. No. You're privileged.
No, I'm here.
What's up?
What's happening?
Hey, you tell us. You called.
Okay, so I've been hearing a lot of stuff about, you know, how Nate Solder's playing bad and, you know, probably shouldn't be out there. And so I was kind of thinking, why haven't we put Vollmer in left tackle this year, see what he can do over there? You know, I feel like he's not going to do much worse than Solder's trying to block people with his butt and stuff. So I'm kind of curious as to why we haven't tried Vollmer over there yet.
You know, it's an interesting thought. You know, it's been a while, I think, since Vollmer has played on the left side, but he has proven that he could do it. But he stepped in and played there.
But what's the trickle down? Who now plays right? Cannon?
Solder.
You put Solder at right? Is he any good at right?
Yeah, see, that's
he's not playing well at left tackle. That's a more important.
I know, but maybe they know.
I wouldn't make the make the change because I think you're potentially weakening two spots. But that would be the move to make if you were going to, you know, if you think that you need to get better at left tackle is more important. But you know they obviously don't see it as being as pressing as we do. Either that, or they just don't feel like they have any options.
Yeah, maybe that's an idea for the off season. Then maybe.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his contract.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, with that bonus that they you know have agreed to. It's not guaranteed, but it'll be interesting to see if he ends up, you know, signing some sort of extension to lower that number. Because he has not had a great season.
Yeah, he hasn't played well. That's why I thought maybe Vollmer would probably be a better option on that side.
All right, maybe. Thanks for the call, Dan.
All right.
We're thinking about.
Here's Christian. Sorry about that, Christian. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Nothing much. It's okay. Awesome win the other day, man. That crowd, my girl came in about halfway through the game and said, I thought they were away.
Right.
The crowd was so loud on the TV. I go, they are. I said, but they have a huge contingent in the PFW Elite spread, which you all met, I'm sure, you know, was certainly a big, big part of that, you know, that cheering section. So that was awesome. I don't think they win that type of game in 2010 or even in 2011 when they went to the Super Bowl. That was impressive. And I just feel so good now as a fan after this stretch of games where they went 5-1 against these really, really the upper echelon of the conference. I mean, they went against the best of the best, and they played awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel so good about it. And I know the Dolphins are a mess, but I think they have talent in spots that can give us trouble. I think, you know, guys like Cameron Wake and even though, like you said, Paul Jarrett Odrick is just, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about the overall talent. I don't think Miami is a train wreck anymore in terms of talent, but they're a train wreck in terms of their mentality and their coaching and their mental toughness. That's where the Patriots have it all over Miami.
They do. They do. When you brought up that Sunday game, I mean, if anybody watched that game, you know, like you said, the first, I think.
If you watched the first quarter and a half and you said that Miami was going to lose that game 28-13, you would have said, oh, they must turn the ball over like five times here.
Five times.
And that's not what happened. They just fell apart.
Yeah, and I'm watching that game and I'm like, oh, I'm like, we're going to have a workout before us next week through that first, like you said, quarter and a half.
There are times I've watched Miami this year and I've said, this is a good football team. You know? But then you look at it at the end of the day, and you watch them play Green Bay nose to nose, and they give up the touchdown on the last play of the game to lose.
Yep.
You know, they're in thorough total control of Baltimore at home, and they lose. They go to Denver. They have an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they lose.
They blow it.
And you can say, well, geez, they're pretty good. Look what they've done to all these good teams. But they find a way to lose to all of them. And at some point, they're just going to pack it in because they know they're not good enough to win.
Right.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to happen Sunday.
And like you said, I think it'll be Sunday. And do you guys think with the emergence of Landry that he'll be the guy that they'll really focus on, or is it still would Revis like still be on Wallace?
I don't think Revis would be on Wallace. I mean, when they played the first time, he was at times, but not. Not exclusively one-on-one.
Yeah,
they played more of a zone.
You're right. He played a lot of Wallace that day, but Fred's right. It wasn't like it has sort of morphed into over the last couple of months.
Okay.
It wasn't total, man, but yeah.
You're going to have to
Wallace is the guy I think he needs to cover.
Well, I think you got to have safety help over the top because he will get behind anyone. There's no one on the Patriots that's fast enough to keep up with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean they might look at Landry as being the guy now. He's their number one receiver now. I think he's got like 65 catches or something like that. Solid rookie year. Maybe they look at Landry now as the guy. Don't forget, that was the first game of the year, his first game as a pro.
Right.
They weren't looking at him as being...
Yeah, I could see Revis more on Landry.
I could see Chris's point. I could see... Christian, I'm sorry. I could see that being the thing. You know, Revis on Landry, and then you double with Bronner and McCourty on Wallace.
And I think that this week, too, the whole Belichick-Brady, you know, and losing that first game, you know, I think they're going to grind him into the grind him right into the turf this week. Like you said, Paul, I think they're going to run all over him.
Can we find anything that they said that makes us really mad? Any bulletin board material?
Not yet, but it's only Wednesday.
Okay, keep looking. We want to find that.
We got our peeps on it.
Okay.
We got our peeps
Thanks,
on it.
Thanks, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
Let's go to John in North Carolina, who says he just wants to support PFW. Well, you already did it by calling the show.
Just want to support PFW.
I thought since it was a slow news day, I can pick up on a pet peeve I have with Paul. I wanted to go man on man with Paul.
All right.
Let me guess. The AFC East is a great division.
No.
Okay.
When I complain about some players or other people do, you quickly say if they're not a star, it doesn't matter. He played eight plays. What does it matter? And my beef is that these guys, there's 11 guys out there. And if Humanui doesn't make his block, then Rob Gronkowski at $100 million and Brady at $150 million can't get a pass off. And it's too easy to dismiss these guys who are not stars that aren't performing. You know what I'm saying?
Was I complimentary of the Who Man?
No.
Well, no. I think what he's talking about is your thing that there's only like five guys that matter on the team in football.
Yeah.
And you say, well, Amendola played eight plays. What's it matter?
Someone was saying that Amendola was terrible in a game in which he participated in so little. I think that's a little silly. And I don't think that you would do that about a guy who was making, minimum salary as opposed to $31 million. That's my point.
I guess what I'm saying is
I think that we overrate it depending on what the guy's, reputation is. That's what my point is. But I mean, I understand what you're saying. Listen, technically you're right. I know that all the guys are just as important. I get it.
Right. And I just don't want to waste plays like when we run the ball. Like it seems like Vereen doesn't get anywhere when he runs that draw.
Right.
It just seems like a waste of play. And at the end of the game, you could say, well, he only ran four times. But yeah,
But not every play in the game can be successful. And they're not unsuccessful because of strictly the personnel. Like that's where I sort of separate. Like everybody's like, why do they keep running Blunt? Why don't they give Gray a chance? Like the outcomes of the play would have been different. It's not about when you're dealing with different guys like that, I just think we overrate the different pieces. I think that when you have Gronkowski and Brady and Revis, those are the guys that to me they're the difference makers, and they're the guys that make a difference. If it's Tim Wright or Who Man, I don't think that makes a difference. If it's Shane Vereen, I want him running a draw.
But you need the Tim Wrights and the Who Mans to win.
No, you don't.
Oh, well.
Well, if they're going to be on the field, they have to execute.
I think if you have five
superstars. They're fine. They do fine. I mean, they're not out there peeing down their leg.
Well, that's
they're
the
NFL
thing.
Players.
If you have five superstars.
But, they did the same thing with Matthew Mulligan last year.
I know.
You don't have to have Tim Wright.
But I'm just saying, if you have five guys that are superstars and the other guys just aren't doing their job, you're not going to be successful.
Right.
They were pretty successful Sunday night when that was the case.
They have to follow the coaching. They have to do their job. They have to execute.
All right,
Fred, whatever.
I understand. But why do you think these guys are any different than anybody else?
If Who Man's beat immediately off the line in a block, which I've seen over and over.
You know who got torched off the line on blocks the other night? Gronk. They highlighted it several times. He had a tough night blocking the other night.
Yeah, Gronk had some mistakes there too, which is not characteristic.
That's what I'm saying is guys make mistakes. Not every play is successful.
Okay, but I'm just saying it's too easy to say, well, he's a low level guy. And the other thing, I'm not going to get anywhere with this one. So the other thing I want to say with Eric,
you're getting somewhere, John. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing you.
I think they are low level guys, but what my point is, low level guys have to do their job too, and you're not going to be successful even if their job is not as important as Tom Brady or Gronk.
My point, and I think where I would disagree with John is, and I don't think John's wrong. I just disagree with him. I think that. You can have all the low-level guys doing great. If the Bradys, Revises, and Gronks aren't doing their job at a high level, it doesn't matter.
No, I agree
with those guys.
But I'll say the opposite, too.
I don't think the opposite is true, and I think it wasn't true the other night. they were able to win a game even when some of those other guys weren't performing very well.
Because you're playing against another team that maybe is making mistakes too. But I'm just saying that the superstars have trouble performing if everyone around them isn't doing their job either. I mean, it's just it's the ultimate team game. It really is.
Well, we get that.
It is. It's 11, we get that. It's 11 people out there.
You're so snarky.
No, but I mean, you guys say things that are like – it's like a – I feel like I'm in the fourth grade. Like, everybody really has to do their job, and all 11 are important,
and
except for when one guy is late for a meeting and another guy is late for a meeting, and there's a different reaction.
That's different. That's different.
Right, because one guy's important and the other
guy
is.
We have established that there are guys that are more talented, more important, but I'm saying that even those guys have trouble performing in football when the guys around them aren't doing their job.
Yeah, no, I get that.
With Arrington, Arrington's had a good season this year. He has, but Green Bay found a way to isolate him, and the Patriots yanked Arrington pretty quickly.
Arrington got hurt in Green Bay.
He went through about three different.
Yeah, Arrington was injured in Green Bay. He didn't get yanked, but
Arrington was what in Green Bay?
He was injured. He was hurt.
That's why Logan Ryan played so much in that game.
See, he was hurt, but he didn't miss any games or anything.
He missed time in that game.
Yeah,
he limped off the field several times.
What, did he have a thigh or something?
An ankle.
An ankle? Okay.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was
no,
hurt.
No, and John, your point is valid. I understand. Like, I didn't want you to just say, oh, I'm not going to get anywhere with that. I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear your point. It is a valid point. Technically, you and Fred are right, and I'm wrong. I just feel like I just think a little bit differently than you guys. But technically, yeah, I understand. You can't go out there with nine guys. You need all 11 guys doing something if you want to be successful in football.
We need all 11 supporting.
I get you guys are absolutely right.
And special teams. Don't forget special teams.
Yeah.
He rolls his eyes.
All right.
Thanks, John. Eddie in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
What's up, boys? Long time no talk.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just want to kind of speak in my fear about this season. For the future coming up, guys. Do any of you guys think that, you know, up this season coming up, somehow the defense is as great as it's been? It is. This is what it is. I mean, they're great. They've been great this year. Kind of like, you know, Fred, the little, was a 4-6 game span that we had last year with the lead?
Yeah.
Where they looked good. They were shutting people down.
Yeah.
This year, we know that it's for real. They're shutting teams down. But do you think that somehow, you know, when the playoffs, if we get a first-round bye, or even if we can make it to the Super Bowl somehow, one of those problems that kind of comes up and creeps up on us, the 2 weeks to plan, somehow that gets into Bill's head and he just tries to outsmart, you know?
Could be. I mean, we've talked about it before, about just, you know, thinking, overthinking things. And if the defense is as good as you say it is, there's no reason to overthink it, you know?
Yeah. Is he going to have confidence in just saying, you know what?
Right.
I know these guys are good. They've shown us how good they are. Let's just go out there and play football.
Yeah, I mean, possibly.
That's my one fear, unfortunately. You know, if we get that home field advantage, I'm going to be worrying about that for that first game, obviously.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really just
we play.
And I know we're getting way, way, way ahead of ourselves, but it really just depends on the opponent. If you're playing Seattle, the emphasis you're thinking for the Patriots is how is our offense going to do against their defense? I mean, that's what you're thinking about, you know, so it really just depends. When you play Denver, obviously, you know, they're a more well-rounded team, I think, and you got to think both ways. But, again, it's shutting down Peyton Manning. It's shutting down that offense. So yeah, it's gonna be opponent-driven for sure.
Opponent-driven, okay. Another thing I want to bring up, guys, just real quick. The quarterback, the teams have a mobile quarterback and a running game. Are you guys still a little worried about that still moving forward?
Well, the better the offensive team that they face, I'd be worried about. And I get your point. Like, obviously, Rodgers is the most concerning because he can run and throw, and that would concern me. But I wouldn't be as concerned going against Seattle, and he can run and throw because I just don't think he has a good enough offense around him. I don't think he has the weapons that Green Bay has. But, yeah, I mean, I get your point. Yeah, those mobile quarterbacks have given them a little bit of trouble. In the past, I think it's affected some of the stuff that they do. But I've been impressed with the way the run defense has improved over the course of the season.
Yeah.
Flat run defense.
Sounds good. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
One more call, then we'll get to the emails.
I am, like, to the point. I think maybe I'm just to the point where I'm, like, supremely confident. I'm getting back, you know, and this is what I'm writing for my commentary, Fred. I was going to save it for you because I want to see if I could get you a chuckle. I think I've brought the nod back.
I
brought the nod back.
The nod's back.
It started a little bit like in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati game, when all of a sudden they came out and they were a totally different team. But I wasn't ready to do it. And then, like, the San Diego game was a nod game. As soon as they kicked the field goal to make it 16-14, I said to myself, that's game.
Yeah.
San Diego ain't scoring again.
Right, right. Sonny's in D.C. Hey, Sonny.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I'm just calling. This is my first time BFW.
Thank you.
I'm liking all the conversation. I'm a big Patriots fan. I'm from up in New England, up in Massachusetts, Cape Cod.
Nice.
And
Freddie Stomping
Grounds. I'm loving the way this defense is playing. What I'd like to see a little more of is the defensive ends, especially in this game coming up. But Tannehill is controlling them corners so that he doesn't get outside with movement and opening up these lanes for the linebackers and safeties to shoot in on some blitz packages on these obvious throwing downs.
Well, that's something they did a lot to Tannehill last year in the game here. If you remember in the second half, Fred, they fell behind 17-0 in that game. And then they did a lot of blitzing in the second half, turned the game around. They got a strip sack, and that was a big part of the game in the second half. Tannehill's a guy that doesn't handle the rush well. He's mobile. He can move, and he can run. They have some designed zone reads that they use him with, and he can run, but he doesn't handle the rush very well.
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking forward to, is that defense really teeing off on him. Defensive line has been holding up great against the run game, and I think offensively, with Blunt and Gray and Vereen's excellent at catching the ball out of the backfield. He's got quickness. He's a tough man to cover when he gets in there with the linebackers in that defense. But that pounding that ball is going to be essential this week, pounding it right down their throats. This way, controlling that clock and teeing off on that defense with blitz packages. I think the Patriots are going to just win out this season. They're going to close up in a big way. I see the team gelling at the right time this year. I don't even think they've really reached their peak. I just see big things coming out of that defense and the special teams. Edelman he's a beast.
Yeah.
He's an expected beast, unexpected beast this year. And I just see them hammering right into the playoffs.
All right. Thanks, Sonny. People are gaining confidence, including Paul Perillo bringing back the nod. Adrian from Ottawa writes in at webradio@patriots.com. At this point in time for this Patriots team, can you make the case that Revis is more important than Brady? I'm talking just this season. Fred was right when he said that Revis was going to be a transformational player. I'm ready to pay him top dollar for his position. Love the show. You guys compliment each other very well. Paul is the reasonable father. Fred is the crazy grandpa making arguments that don't exist. And Andy is the teen son just sitting back laughing and throwing judgments during the arguments.
That's stupid.
I should add, Andy's laugh is so contagious. Eric is good, too, when he's there. He's the mother who wants no part of the argument, so he leaves the room. That's Adrian in Ottawa. Andy's back. Where were you?
What do you got, Andy? Anything good?
I was doing our interview with
Silver
Salinga.
Yeah?
It went fine.
Good.
I know he
enjoyed the cover of PFW.
He did. Yeah. Well, when I introduced him, I held one off camera, and I said, you know, joining me for the interview now is Patriots defensive tackle Silver Salinga, or as we like to call him, Cover Boy. And I held it up, and he had a big smile, and he said, oh, yeah, he's got a ton of them. And he was just clearly happy to be back on a football field after watching for a couple months. Interesting locker room. A lot of some national attention.
National attention.
Michelle Steele,
is that
her name? She's here with an ESPN crew. Another national reporter who I'm not sure what her name is, but she's definitely national. Shira Springer here doing a Matthew Slater feature, I think, for the Globe, probably for that award he was nominated for. But a little bit of a new blood in the media corps in there. Devin McCourty talked. Who else? Ryan Allen getting a lot of love for his special teams player of the week award, which I don't understand.
I wanted
not the love. I don't understand how he got the award.
I meant to ask you that. Did you see that, Freddie?
Yeah, he won. I was trying to think, when I first saw it, I said, what did he do to deserve that?
His job. I
got distracted.
He had a good night punting. I mean, nothing.
He did his job.
Nothing exceptional.
He did what you would call a decent punter to good punter should do.
Right.
Shouldn't the Patriots gunner get the
Or the how about the guy who blocked the punt that changed the whole game? Right.
The guy who won a one-on-one battle that changed the game.
But I get it that the Patriots had, or I should say, Chargers had bad field position throughout. So, he was punting inside the 20 very well. But you had to cover those, too.
He had a 49-yard average.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good, but it's better than what he's done year to date.
I would even put it, I think it was more on Bolden, and maybe I overrate this, but I think Bolden's block punt, knocking the punter out of the game, allowed you to have the field position that you had the rest of the game. You kept taking over around midfield, going three and out, so now you're punting from midfield, which is easy to hang it up high and have someone go down and down it.
Yeah,
that's why there's no returns.
That's really why
the other team is backed up inside the 20 all night.
I need to ask PR because I think they only give one nominee. Each team gives a nominee for every award.
Yeah.
And I don't really
know. Maybe it was just a slow special teams.
Ryan Allen?
Brandon Bolden blocked a punt that changed the game.
I mean, for other teams.
He should not have won it on his team.
Yeah, I think that we should have nominated Bolden.
And Bolden, I'm assuming it was a slow week. But in my opinion, Bolden should have won it. Now, it could be because I'm suddenly in love with Brandon Bolden because I just had a chat with him. I thanked him, and I said I apologized again for us introducing him as Brandon Browner. And he goes, oh, don't worry about it. I said, well, some guys would probably get a little pissy or whatever. And he said, no, I deal with it all the time because it used to be people would say BB. They call him BB, but sometimes they'd be calling coach, and they wouldn't be calling him. So he doesn't get that. And now with the Brandon LaFell and Brandon Browner, Brandon doesn't work anywhere, so he never knows when anyone's talking about him.
And even before, Brandon Lloyd was here.
He said it's always been an issue.
He never had Brandon to himself.
I don't want to be confused with the BB one. I'd stay away from that one as much as possible.
Yeah, and nothing – I don't want to make it sound like we're ripping Ryan Allen. Ryan Allen had a good night.
Sure.
Matter of fact, I thought he kind of struggled in Green Bay, so it was nice to see him bounce back and have a really strong night.
But it wasn't an award-winning night. I mean, it was because he won an award.
I mean, he punted like four times.
Five times. 49-yard average, three or four inside the 20. It was like 13, 10, 10, 11, something like that, which is good. Don't get me wrong. But a guy made a big play, and it was him. It was just a one-on-one battle. He beat the guy. He blocked the kick. I would have liked to have seen Brandon Bolden. I think he's made a couple nice plays the last few weeks. And
all right. Well, I'm going to let you guys carry it through for a little while.
Well, I was surprised you were here. That's why I ran down.
I'm going to run and do all access.
I was worried that you'd be at all access and Fred would be spewing Lord only knows what.
Well, people have been calling and yelling at Paul. And
for what? Because the division sucks?
No. It was Paul's stance that, there's only five guys on the team that really matter. And then everyone else is, just fodder. And
I think it's a little strong. There's three on this team that matter.
Wow. Toby from New York writes in, I have a stupid question and a good question. We'll be the judge of that. The stupid question is, why is it that Michael Manawanui is always announced with the starters on the NBC broadcast?
I have no idea.
I don't know. And good question. That was a stupid question.
Who gives a rat's ass?
If people want to say a defensive player should win MVP, then it should be Revis, not Watt. Why do you guys think who do you guys think has been more valuable this year, Brady or Revis?
Gronk.
Brady or Revis?
I didn't answer that. I answered Gronk.
That wasn't the question.
Doesn't matter.
Between not who was the most, between Brady and Revis, who was the most valuable?
I think they're neck and neck.
Yeah,
I'm having trouble dividing.
It's really hard.
But I would put Gronk ahead of them. I would put Gronk ahead of those two. And I don't think J.J. Watt's going to win it. I think that team needs to be a little bit better for him to win it. I don't think they're quite good enough. He's had a great year. He's obviously played on both sides of the ball. He's got a little bit of that. Remember when Charles Woodson won the Heisman and he played some offense and some defense, but he was the first primarily defensive player. I love Watt. I'd like to see him win it because it's been since, 85, 86? It's been like 30 years since somebody's won the MVP from the defensive side of the ball. I think it's dubious. It's doubtful.
Yeah.
Interesting Brandon Browner note. He didn't come out and speak while I was in there. He kind of popped his head out of the training room, went back in, but he has Eric Weddle's game jersey in his locker.
Oh.
Apparently he has. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's somebody else told me Browner did it at least once previously. He switches jerseys with people.
Like soccer?
I guess. Is that a soccer thing?
Yeah, they
because it's his real jersey. I mean, it has, the captain patch on it and everything. He peeled it off.
He must have given Weddle
probably gave him his.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting. Now I want to know more, and Browner didn't come out because, you know, does he just do it with DBs? Is it a DB thing, or does he do it with anybody on the other team? Like, I'm interested.
There was a time on this team a long time ago where that would have been frowned upon.
Because he wouldn't have had a jersey.
Exactly.
Right. Yes, I remember when it was, you know, because the Pro Bowl, they trade stuff at the Pro Bowl, and guys, like, if you're a Patriot, you go to the Pro Bowl, you bring 10 helmets, 20 jerseys, and swap it with other guys for memorabilia from other people that are in. Apparently in the past, Patriots players had problems with that. They couldn't get the stuff.
Tony writes, and clearly Jonas Gray did something in addition to being late for practice. Any truth to the rumor mentioned on EEI yesterday that it involved his truck being towed up in Everett when he went to visit a lady friend? Don't get me wrong. I'm a LeGarrette Blount guy and want him to get 15 to 20 carries a game, but I just feel there's something more to the curious case of Jonas Gray. Were you on EEI when they said that?
Nope.
No?
And I had not heard that. I don't know if is. I don't even know who said that. Is it possible that a caller called in and said, yeah, I got a friend who runs a towing company.
Exactly.
I don't get, you know what intrigues me more than the reason Jonas Gray isn't playing? Why people think it's a big deal that Jonas Gray isn't playing. I think Jonas Gray is what he is. He's a practice squad call-up.
I think it is curious.
I don't.
I do.
I think Blount is obviously better.
I know
they like Blount better. They trust Blount more. They have more of a track record with Blount. I don't get why people don't get it.
I know you just shrug your shoulders at 201 yards in a game, but I'm intrigued to see more. I don't understand why they aren't. And it could be something else.
Or it could be they know Blount is better, just like I know Blount is better. They know what they have in Blount.
Somebody on my team just ran for 201 yards.
Right.
I'd like to see what else he can do.
Right. I'd like to see what else.
Wouldn't you?
I would like
coach?
To. You know what I would have liked to have seen?
What
Blount would have done in that game.
Yeah. But
he might have reached three bills.
But he didn't.
What's the NFL record?
Yeah. But he didn't, and a guy did. Aren't you interested, if you were a coach, to see if he can do it, you know, if he can continue playing well? Obviously, there's something else.
You know, previous to this game, Blount was averaging 6.2 yards a carry as a Patriot.
That's fine.
So that's better than Jonas Gray.
Well, on an average, but he never had a 201-yard game. Well, he did against in the rain last year. But I'm just saying.
Blount has done more of.
But don't you think, wouldn't you want to see what else Jonas Gray can do if he can continue to play well?
If I need to.
But why not?
Here's the comparison.
Why not have two guys that you can depend on?
Here's the comparison that I would say. And it's a different situation, but it's a lot like people calling
for
Wright.
It's not like one can play and then the other one can't. It's football. You can have them both play. You can see what
both
can do.
But they don't do that. They're not both going to.
They always have done that.
They're not running the ball
enough
right now.
They've never been a single back.
They're not running the ball enough right now to get two guys a ton of carries.
Well,
right?
I don't know.
That's one of the complaints is they get away from the run. They haven't run it enough, right?
Yeah,
So they haven't had the opportunity.
I think there's something else to it.
I don't.
I do.
I think you people are all conspiracy theorists who are blowing smoke up
No, but I'm not blaming the Patriots. I'm saying that shame on Jonas Gray if there is. You know, he should have known better or whatever. But I think there's got to be more than a reason than, oh, we just think Blount's better.
I don't buy it.
Because I don't think they know, and I don't know how good Jonas Gray is yet.
You know, they see a lot of Jonas Gray, like throughout the preseason and the practice field. They know what Jonas Gray is.
Right, and they chose to bring him back, and he did well in the game. So, you know, sometimes
they needed him. There was no option.
It's not just that they needed him. When they needed him, he had over 200 yards rushing.
Right. And when they've
There's
needed,
something to be said about that.
When they've needed LeGarrette Blount, he's done everything they
could
ask for.
But don't you want to see if Gray can do it again, so now you have two guys that you know
you
can depend on.
No, not really.
Wow.
To me, it reeks of Tim Wright. Got to get Tim Wright more reps.
No,
Tim Wright's a backup to Gronk.
This is.
Why is it different?
I think right now you have, because I don't think Shane Vereen is a between the tackles runner.
Nobody said he is.
So right now, if you're not going to use Gray, you have one running back.
Right. Just like
that's
you did
not
previously.
Enough.
Just like you did previously.
No, that's not enough.
Just like you had one Stephen Ridley.
It's
and he got hurt, and you put Gray in.
No, at the time you were using Bolden, and you were using
a
lot more than they're using Gray now. Absolutely, they were.
You're out of your flipping gourd.
Not this year. I'm talking about past years.
Well, I'm talking about this year because in past years you had Blount and Ridley.
Yeah.
This year you only had Ridley. Ridley went down. You needed Gray. You put Gray in. He succeeded. You went and got LeGarrette Blount. Blount is better.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Well.
It's very simple.
It's not that simple.
I don't know why you people are all overcomplicating
it. It's not that simple.
Very simple.
I want to keep
very simple.
If I'm the coaching staff, I want to keep Gray in the mix because who knows, I may need him again.
He got a couple carries last week.
Not enough.
Two. How many did Blunt have?
20.
Yeah. You have 22 carries there. What, you want 10 and 10? Is that what you're looking for?
Oh, maybe 7 and 13.
I don't get it. I don't get the fascination with Jonas Gray. And
it's
the fascination
not like we're saying, we think he's going to be the next, Tony Dorsett or whatever. But I just think that you want to keep him in the mix because you never know.
He's in the mix. He gets a couple carries.
And I think the coaches are intrigued with him. I think that he must have done something else. I think there's got to be something else going on.
I don't know why you would be believing
that. You don't just bench a guy, that scored, that ran for 201 yards because you just brought in another player. You don't do that.
Who has previously scored 4 touchdowns
Fine,
in a game.
You use
and
them both.
That makes no sense to me.
Sure it does.
Why isn't Brian Timms getting more chances? He caught a deep touchdown. Give Brian Timms more chances.
Not the same.
Need to see more.
Apples and oranges.
You're exactly right. Timms has more of an argument because he's actually a deep threat, something they don't have.
Jonas
Gray is a replication of a guy he's not as good
They're going to run the ball, but they may not throw it deep.
Because they don't have a deep receiver except Timms.
They're going
except
to have
Timms
to,
proved he could do it, so get Timms in there.
They're going to have to run the ball.
What did Timms
regardless.
Do? Did Timms oversleep? Did he get his car towed? What has Timms
That's
done to
different.
Deserve
That's
this fate?
Completely different, you know it. Chris is in Dana Point, California. You asked a couple weeks ago about Nielsen rating boxes and the requirements for them. The company I work for has a lady from Nielsen come in to use our shipping services. Last time she was in, I asked her about the rating boxes. She told me that people are selected using a complex statistical formula, and when Nielsen goes to their home to ask them to allow the box to be installed, Nielsen employees don't even know the name of the family that lives there. Nielsen asks that the only people to be informed of the box are those that go to the family's house to watch TV because the box is visible. They ask that nothing be posted about their status as a Nielsen home outside of that, especially not on social media. There is no steadfast rule regarding who can be told. Hope the info helps.
Okay. If you buy that.
Right.
Anytime people say to me it's a complex algorithm or something, I generally assume it's just like
right.
random. They point at a phone book and pick a name.
Right.
Did you guys talk about a couple newsworthy items, the Dean Blandino video? Did you get into that?
Oh, with Browner, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul says that, Blandino says it wasn't head-to-head.
Right.
But it was a penalty. That's what Paul said. I didn't believe him.
I'm not sure that's what Blandino said.
He said it wouldn't have been overturned. That's just what Paul is saying. I don't know.
I don't believe he said that.
Good.
Either.
Tell me what he said.
No, he said it's part of the confusion was the referees announcing had helmet to helmet contact. It was not that. Now he said it was high, and you could say that it was in the neck and chest area. He said there's some validity to the call based on the wording of the rule. And I don't think he said, he said, there is no replay now. It's not allowed to be reviewed.
Right.
He said that.
Right.
And then they asked, do you think it will be? And he definitely said that he expects that in the near future, they talked about it this offseason, that there will be some sort of window to review a play like
that. Geez, I wish you were here when Paul said it. Because,
but I'm pretty sure he never said it was.
I mean, callers and emails back me up. Paul clearly said that Blandino said it wasn't head-to-head. That was wrong.
Definitely.
But it was a penalty.
He said it could have been a penalty or whatever. I'll watch it again during the break, but I don't remember him saying it was definitely a penalty or it definitely would not have been overturned. I must have missed that.
Okay.
He sort of blamed the wording as the biggest issue, though, the fact that he said helmet-to-helmet when it clearly wasn't helmet. And he actually praised Browner for getting the head to the side and leading with his shoulder at the play.
I just think it's so frustrating when a player does everything right and they still get the flag. I can only imagine how a player feels about it.
Right.
You know?
He was clearly frustrated.
Yeah.
Because he clearly said, he didn't aim for the numbers. That's the one part where he kind of muddied the water. He didn't hit the numbers. It was up high or right about the shoulder.
Right.
But, he said, I don't want to get concussions either. I'm not trying to hit people in the head, something Browner tweeted. So I actually think the contact that got made between the face mask and Browner was caught. He hit him, and when he hits the body, the head goes forward. It kind of recoils.
Right.
And then that came down and glanced
Absolutely.
The face mask.
Absolutely.
But, again, I still say, if I'm a referee, I throw the flag live. I would have penalized it live.
Yep.
But if it were reviewable, I think it's not a penalty.
I'm right with you. I think you have to throw the flag there, but then let's hope that they change the rules so that you can review those plays. They're just too important.
They are. I mean, that was a game-changing type play. Even though the Patriots ended up winning and they were the one that kind of got screwed, it's potentially a game-changing play. The other thing is, talking about LeGarrette Blount and talking about maybe his future, whatever, near future, did you see there was a report out of Pennsylvania where he was offered a deal by the judge when he was arrested with Le'Veon Bell? They were pulled over for possession of marijuana or whatever the exact charge was. She has offered him 50 hours of community service, reportedly, that must be done before February 1st as the plea deal. Mm. I'm assuming you could do that. I mean, he'd have to go to Pennsylvania. Yeah. And she has a. She
you could
wants
do it on Tuesdays. Do 10-hour a
right.
day.
Yeah. Or the bye week between yeah. the end of the – assuming yeah. they get a bye week.
Right.
But it sound otherwise, it sounds like jail time could be a possibility. So I would make sure I get there and do it. Yeah. Even if I have to do, you know, two 25-hour days.
Right.
Wait a minute. That's not possible.
Danny writes in, first-time emailer, long-time listener. Question, guys. Akeem Ayers? What happens to his playing time when Chandler Jones comes back healthy? Do they split snaps? Would they be on the field together? If so, Rob Ninkovich, what happens to his playing time? Who is the odd man out with all three healthy? Akeem Ayers, Rob Ninkovich, Chandler Jones. Who would you guys have out on the field on third down and give us the best chance to get after the quarterback? Danny J, a.k.a. Joe Sizzle. That's his name.
Joe Sizzle.
Yep.
He's hot.
I think they'll ease Jones back in, so I don't think that he'll take that many reps away at first anyway.
That's probably accurate, and it's also something that Bill Belichick discussed quite a bit today about Ayers, is that he is a outside linebacker, defensive end. They've been in sub situations, so he's played a lot of defensive end. You know, we've talked about it the last 2 months. It's been like all the time they're in sub situations, nickel packages. But he says he could definitely play on 2 feet and play more linebacker type roles. So I think you'll see him drop back, and you'll see Collins and Ayers on the field sometimes as the linebackers, and you'll see less of obviously Casillas and Hightower. You add some versatility in there.
Yeah. Speaking of Chandler Jones. Do we have any indication that this might be the week we see him back?
No indication.
I think it is.
I think it is, too. Yeah. He was in the locker room for a short bit. I didn't see him speak with anyone. And I know, you know, reports out of San Diego were he was a little salty last week or a crusty, which he didn't say anything crusty. Apparently, it was sort of his tone. He didn't pull off the Rob Gronkowski. Remember when he used to have to say,
right.
you know, getting better every week, doing what I – he says it with a smile, and Jones may not have pulled off the smile. But
right. –
I am expecting, with no knowledge of any reason why, that he will play this week.
Brady from Erie, Pennsylvania, just an observation. It does not seem like Bill has been as involved with coaching the defense this year on the sideline during games. In years past, it seemed like whenever the defense was off the field, Bill was spending time with them. I have not seen this nearly as much this year. Do you guys agree with this observation? If so, why do you think he isn't spending as much personal time with them during games?
I haven't noticed it. I think he still tends to err on the side of coaching the defense.
I thought at first we did notice it. We said, wow, you know, he's really not paying any attention to the defense when they come off the sideline. And it could be because of the personnel. I mean, last year maybe he had to as the season progressed because of all the injuries, and so he had to do a little bit more coaching than usual. But maybe, you know, they've been, knock on wood, they've had injuries on the defense, but not catastrophic like last year where they all came at the same time. And maybe because of the continuity, he hasn't had to. Maybe Patricia's handling it.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you lost Gerard Mayo and Chandler Jones. Those are two pretty big injuries.
Yeah.
But, and then Hightower last week.
But you lost, yeah.
That's three of your best defensive front players.
But Hightower didn't, you know, you had time to adjust with Mayo out, and then Hightower got hurt. So, I don't know. I'm
going to have to look a little more closely.
Look, I'm going to go back to the fact that Revis and Brown are on this team, and that settles everything.
Oh, I agree that Revis, I think, settles everything. I think Revis is, you were dead on. Transformational is the perfect word. He has transformed this defense, and
we were talking before, I don't know how they could better spend that money than keeping him on this team.
Well,
if you're going to take that money, there's no way you can say, I can spend it, other than Brady retiring and getting a new quarterback, I can spend that better than I would with Revis.
And I'll take it a step further. Everybody says, well, you know, you also got to re-sign Devin McCourty. No, I don't. I'll let Devin McCourty go. Devin McCourty, to me, is okay. He's fine. But you can replace Devin McCourty
right.
if Revis is there. If Devin McCourty's there, you can't replace Revis.
Right.
So if I have to lose Devin McCourty because I need to pay through the nose for Revis, I'm paying through the nose for Revis.
Yeah.
That's how important he is. And I also add in, remember all we heard about Talib was, you know, he can't stay healthy. That's one. Revis has never been hurt, basically. He had the hamstring against us, and he blew out his ACL. But other than that, he's basically a full-time player, a 16-games player. I would just, as Bill likes to say, drive up the Brinks truck and give it to him.
And if you're going to go and draft a safety, wouldn't you want to have this safety learn with Revis on the field? I mean, doesn't it make his job a little easier,
sure,
having Revis so he can kind of ease into his duties?
Or you just sign a guy.
Yeah.
I think you sign – if you signed a guy like, I don't know, James Ahead, about, you know, one of these just veterans that's been around 8-10 years and put him with Revis, I think you're okay. But if you sign a corner that's been around 8 or 10 years and put him with McCourty, we're right back to sucking on defense.
Yeah. I don't want to – it's like I have this hybrid now, and I don't have to pay for gas anymore, essentially. I don't want to go back to paying for gas. I don't want to go back to not having a shut-down
right
corner.
Right.
I don't want to go back.
You've lived the life.
Right.
You can't go back.
I can't go back.
You've tasted it. It's like HD. Could you go without HD now?
No.
No.
Can't
I've got
go
HD. I can't do it.
Yeah. That'll be the theme in the offseason. Don't go back.
What?
You know, can't go back or whatever. Signing Revis.
Are you – What is your gut? I mean, you're an insider. You talk to people
a little
higher on the food chain than
we
do. What do you think?
My gut, and we've talked this before, my gut is, you know, at the beginning of the season, it was, this is just a one-year deal. This is a rental. My gut now is he's going to be back,
but
70% chance.
He can't be back on the contract, right, at
25
million?
No. They're going to do something different. The wild card is if you win the Super Bowl and – he now wants to make $25 million.
Okay.
You know,
here's $25
million. Yeah. But, yeah, that could complicate things. But I think the Patriots are going to make, you know, the type of effort that they normally wouldn't for a guy with, you know, scheduled to make that much money. And I think he can do it so that, you know, okay, so we give him $15 million up front this year and spread it out a little bit. So at the end of the day, he's still making a ton of money, highest paid cornerback, you know. I'll just be really disappointed if they don't do that.
I will be, too. I mean, because – and the one thing I would say is we have seen them do it. When they think
right
a guy's great, they pay him.
Right.
And so I think they'll pay him because
right
I think they know he's great.
Right.
I think he'll be back. I'm not all in because I don't think you can be back on the $25 million cap number. You can. You don't want to have him back at $25
right
million.
And anyone's thinking, oh, well, you'll get the Hernandez relief. That probably isn't coming for 2 years, if it comes at all.
Well, Hernandez comes off the books, but it's not.
It's dead money, right?
Right now, it's dead money. There's nothing next year.
Oh, there's nothing next year? Oh,
you're
okay
talking about potentially getting a refund on your cap or anything.
Yeah.
That's down the road. That may never come.
Right.
But the bigger issue is just the number. If your cap number is $142 million, do you want 25 for him and what's the number, 16 or 18 for Brady? I mean, now you're pushing 40-something million dollars on two guys. Things start to, you know, $7.5 million for your left tackle. That's the one I think that's really screwing him.
Right. Cap is crap. Let's go to Chad.
The cap is crap.
Yeah,
that's
right
how you can pay a $25 million left corner. Right. Cap is crap.
It's crap. Chad in Atlanta. Hey, Chad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Man, you guys are just completely talking about exactly what I was going to call in about.
Oh, okay.
So, two questions. The first is for Andy, the football question. Going back and watching the Brandon Browner hit.
Yep.
That whole interception sequence. Whenever you watched about 14 seconds in, you see Rob Ninkovich completely get destroyed from behind, and don't laugh at that. I don't know if it's a block in the back or what, since they were essentially on offense at that point, but that was another horrible missed call. Like, I don't know what the call should have been on that. But if you go back and watch it, you can definitely see Ninkovich get completely obliterated.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I mean, that sounds like it could be my thing, where unnecessary roughness. You can call unnecessary roughness for blindside hits and unnecessary hits. I'd have to go back and look at it. One guy who got blown up on the play on a regular block was Ryan Wendell. He got absolutely de-cleated.
Wow.
So, but that might have been on the fumble. He might have got de-cleated on the fumble play. But Yeah, I'll have to go back and look at that because I didn't notice that in the times. I've been so focused on sort of the hit and trying to look at that from every angle that I didn't see that.
All right.
Yeah, me too. It's about 14 seconds. The second thing I got is what is the running back position going to look like next year? I mean, I know everyone's high on Gray. I was high on Gray, you know, at 1.2, but I want to say it's probably a coincidence. Sorry, Fred. But I think it may be a coincidence with the Colts. I mean, LeGarrette Blount blew him up pretty good last year in the playoffs, and Jonas Gray blew him up pretty good. You know, I just don't think they have a good run defense. But
well said.
As far as, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley, I mean, next year Ridley's going to be – he could be back, but he's not going to be the same as he was.
Right.
You know? I mean, he had a pretty good little injury.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You have Blount for next year, and you have Gray for next year. So you could certainly have Blount, Gray, and Ridley. Ridley starts on PUP. You see how Blount and Gray – that's a good backfield, the grunt backfield.
But Ridley you have to resign, right, because he's going to be a free agent?
Yes.
So, but assumedly he'll come back for not what he would have gotten if he had a good year this year.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's a chance you get him sort of on that Julian Edelman, okay, I'll go back there for one more year. I'm hurt. Nobody wants me. Hopefully I have a good year and then can cash
in. Right. All right, thanks, Chad. All right, we'll take a break right now. We've been going at it for an hour and 22 minutes without one. We'll be right back with more of your emails and calls right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
My name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch
watch him after lunch break. He could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card. Truly enough said, one brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all. I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is.
CFW in progress.
Oh, man, Mr. Lift. Oh, that's awesome. That is unbelievable. Mr. Lift comes through. He said he was going to do it, and he did it, man. That was awesome. That's the new theme, right? That's our new theme.
Tremendous. Absolutely.
Oh, we play that before every show. That is unbelievable. Thank you, Mr. Lift. Mr. Lift.
Can you email it to me?
Twitter.
I want to play it for my wife.
At the real Mr. Lift. At THEREALMRLIF. At the real Mr. Lift.
The official rapper of Patriots Football Weekly Radio.
That was really, really good.
It was. Because not only it worked musically and rhyming-wise, but it was perfectly concise for us.
Right.
Like, it told the story of us in, like, two lines.
Right. Yeah.
It was great.
Without Eric, too.
Well, that's... Yeah.
Well, that tells the story of the show.
Right. That was really cool. Thank you, Mr. Lift. That was gold.
It was more than I could have hoped for.
Yeah, in terms of...
And I knew that he was good, because evidently I'm the only one that had never heard of him. Because everybody was telling us how great he was.
Yeah.
And that exceeded the expectations, even knowing that he was very talented going in.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lee.
Really good.
I loved it.
Really
loved
good.
It. I'll no longer say you need to get an E and buy a life.
Kevin, send me that file, too. I want it on my computer.
It's funny. It's going to be Fred's ringtone.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
Talked about Fred's shoulders. Sexy shoulders, by the way, right? That's what we're going with.
Somebody told me I had sexy shoulders at the party.
Now, was that a male or a female?
It was a female.
Hot?
There were a lot of hot girls there.
I didn't ask that.
Well, I can't remember.
I like putting you on the spot. She's now offended because you didn't say she was
right,
hot.
She knows who she is.
Well, there were so many. I believe she was.
Were there a lot of hot babes?
Good call.
There?
Oh, yeah. Good call, Fred. Yeah. I believe she was.
Did Eric... mingle with any of them?
No. Well, Jackie Britton.
That doesn't count. I'm talking about new women.
I mean, strangers.
Yeah, people that
guys
he, might have
he has
a chance with.
He was kind of like you.
Ladies, yeah.
He wasn't really mingling. He was kind of behind the velvet ropes like you were in London.
Yeah, but I'm married. I'm not looking to, score.
I know. Somebody emailed or tweeted him or something like that and said, Eric, if you come to the party, I'll find a bun for your hot dog. And
And what did he say?
He blocked him.
Well, because it was a him.
Yeah. Did he really?
Yeah.
He blocks everybody. He's such a bitch. He really is.
I've never blocked a person in my life. I just ignore him if I don't like him.
Andy and I have one each.
One each.
Really? I won't ask who that is.
It's not the same. I don't think it's the same person.
But. No, mine just flashed a picture of a gun multiple times.
Oh. And I didn't necessarily think that was something that he was, looking to get into.
Talk
and,
a good game. I don't...
There was only one guy. I have a lot of guys that rip me on Twitter, but most of them are funny.
Right.
There's like one guy who's really, really funny. He finds a different way to rip me every single day, and he's funny. He almost always makes me laugh. But this one guy was just like really vile and vulgar, and it was a little bit too much.
Update out of the Patriots locker room, by the way, real quick. Bob Sosi claims no alcohol involved with his dancing. No alcohol involved.
I can corroborate that based on someone on site.
He said he would have danced better had there been alcohol involved.
Although I was confused because he texted me this morning saying he was still under the weather from the trip. And I was like, yeah, it's probably because you were up on the stage diving with Zolak.
And I wanted him to stage dive. I wanted him to crowd surf.
Him, Zolak, and Max Lane.
Did you hear that Zolak
live tweeted Rudolph last night?
Really?
He had probably about 40 tweets over the course criticizing the show and Hermy, the little kid, calling him like a little
whole
bitch.
And... It's like, yeah, it's bad.
What?
That's a bad. You go back and watch that.
Yeah, but
that doesn't send a very good message.
Oh, no.
But when really I was a bad. Kid, that
oh, yeah.
was that
oh,
was
I, lo- I still love them.
Very important to me.
We watched them last night. We watched them with TJ a little bit
you
last
didn't live
night.
Tweet?
I did not live tweet.
He did. He was live tweeting.
I guess I lost an opportunity.
And then he tweeted Hermy does kind of sound like McDaniels, and like these just random thoughts in his head, that big cavernous head of his.
But what did he proposed a wrestling match between Mike Reese and Bob Soucy?
Yeah. And then Reese said, no, me and Soucy will wrestle you if we go to the Super Bowl.
They still wouldn't win.
Probably not. No. I mean, hey, speaking of the party in San Diego, Barry Insiong is on the line, who organized the whole thing. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Andy. Good to talk to you guys.
What's up, Barry? Good job.
Hey, so quick thing from the early part of the show today, I wanted to make mention of. You had a caller asking about what's going on in New York and tailgating and stuff. And I just want to remind you guys and the listeners that Patriots tailgate is for every road game. Obviously, they're not going to all be huge events like we've had in San Diego, Seattle, Denver and stuff. But even small gatherings can be a good time. So Patriots tailgate now has close to 6,000 members.
Wow.
So we've got a sizable group going to basically every game, you know, whether it's 50 people meeting up to tailgate or, you know, get together at the bar the night before. That's still it's still the place to find other Patriots fans going to every road game. So just wanted to remind everybody about that.
You got anything planned for New York?
Actually, I'm glad you asked, because there is a party going on the night before. It's at a place called Tuttle's.
It's not at Arthur's?
Not at Arthur's, but
Arthur's.
And in fact, if you're interested in going to it yourself, I can get you in touch with the organizer. She can let you know they're going to be doing some fundraising, and they hope to have some celebrity guests as well. So come join Patriots Tailgate Facebook group if anybody wants to check out what's going on with Patriots fans on Saturday night.
Okay.
San Diego was a blast, and I know you guys have talked plenty about it yesterday between all the emails and calls, so I won't recap that. But I do want to thank a lot of people that helped make it all happen, including you, promoting it on the show, sending out the PFW copies, your social media groups, promoting it on Facebook, Twitter, Stacey James, the Patriots, and the Charitable Foundation, who all sent out the autographed memorabilia that we did silent auctions for, and included in the raffles. Those were huge hits, and we made a lot of money on that. But I'll get back to that in a bit. And also, I want to make mention, Mr. Kraft obviously had a huge weekend with the MLS Cup, and maybe can share what he went through. But I believe he had some obligations on Saturday night in LA, which is almost 2 hours from San Diego. But he still came down to our party, so it's not like he just got in a limo and came over, a 10-minute drive. He came way out of his way, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He said to me as he was leaving, we should do this everywhere we go. And I told you that, and,
I agree, Robert.
But he loves it. I mean, he really, he really appreciates people coming out,
Yeah, and I can tell you how much everybody that attended appreciated it too. So, hey, we can talk next season when the schedule comes out and see if we can, kind of grow this. This one obviously is in my backyard, so it's easy for me to really take a hands-on approach. But, we've got a lot of clubs, I think next year, I've got Dallas and Houston, and they both have strong clubs. If they can do all the groundwork and, we can work together on promoting it and getting all the fans to know about it, we can do this more frequently for sure.
Absolutely. You basically have, created the blueprint. So all we need to do is share that with the other clubs and follow your blueprint. And we can do this everywhere.
Yeah, that would be a blast. I mean, like I said, it's growing. So, we're making progress every year. So.
And I know David Silverman, our photographer, he's sending you a bunch of photos, Barry. We're also going to have those photos up on Patriots.com either today or tomorrow. So people who weren't there can see all the stuff that went on.
Yeah, and then, you guys weren't able to attend the tailgate party, of course, since you got obligations during pregame. But that was quite a scene, too. And we're starting to collect all the photos that came from that, as well as everybody in the game. So, if anybody wants to check that out, even if you didn't come to San Diego, join the Patriots Tailgate Facebook group, and you're gonna you'll get a good feel for what we want it to be like on a more frequent basis.
Awesome, thanks, Barry. Yeah. Great job.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So I just want to make some thanks to all the volunteers that helped bring it all together. But the big thing I wanted to announce today is, we raised a lot of money through, we sold tickets for the party, we did, like I said, the raffles, the silent auctions. Mr. Kraft generously donated those two pairs of tickets that we auctioned off live and went for a lot of money. At the tailgate, we sold food and drink, for cash donations. And it blew me away when I started to tally it up last night. We raised, after expenses, a net total that will be going to charities of $10,000.
Wow, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Congratulations.
That's, yeah, it's fantastic.
That's phenomenal.
I want to thank everybody who contributed in so many
different
ways.
Make that check out to Patriots Football
Week. Yeah.
501(c)(3), I believe.
So, yeah, that money will be going to the Patriots Charitable Foundation, the United Way of San Diego, knowyourstats.org, which is the prostate cancer charity that Mike Haynes supports.
Yeah.
The Leah Sweet Fragile Hearts Foundation, which is a local one that grants wishes for siblings of children with severe disabilities. That's one that I actually met Sam Cunningham initially through years ago, so I like to continue supporting them as well. On top of that, we did a Toys for Tots collection, got over 100, well over 100 toy donations brought into the party, and on top of even more cash that went directly, was picked up by the Marines. So, yeah, all in all, it was just a huge win-win all the way around between what we did for the charities, the fun we had at the party and the tailgate, and then, of course, beating the Chargers. So, yeah, it blew away my expectations in every way. And you guys had a lot to do with it, so I just want to say thanks.
Well, congratulations. You put
good
it together.
Job.
Good job, Barry.
Well done.
We'll be talking to you in the future. Yeah. All right, that's Barry Inciong of the Patriots Tailgate Group. You want to go join that on Facebook, then you're up to date with everything that's going on. Patriots Nation, hey, on the line right now is Mr. Liff.
Awesome.
Mr. Liff, that was effing amazing.
Hey, guys, I'm really glad that you enjoy it. You know, I aim to please, of course, you know.
Oh, and no. Now even Andy thinks you have a life, so you're awesome.
Yeah, no, I heard that. Andy, thank you for we did drop the E in just area. That's a great thing.
Yep, L-I-F's cool with me.
Yeah, all right. Finally, I've made it. Good. Thank you, brother.
But, yeah, that was, as I said, you know, it's going to sound like we're blowing smoke up your ass, but you succinctly, I think, described each of us in a couple lines that worked perfectly in terms of the music and the lyrics. It was phenomenal.
Thank you so much. Well, Andy, when I called in, I can't remember what it was, like a month ago when I was still on tour, and you said that I had open range, you know, that I could, and I told you, hey, man, I'll try to put it the best way I can, take my shots. But of course, it's all love for you guys, because the show has been, is phenomenal, and it has been for so long, and I really appreciate the consistency. That's the same thing I try to have in my career, just be consistent, have longevity. I really appreciate what you guys do, and I'm really glad that I could make something that you enjoy.
That was great.
And
that
I feel like
awesome.
We made it.
Yeah.
You know, like we're now, you know, you were that up and coming wrestler that people kind of cheered for, but now you got your marquee music that people know who you are.
Right.
When the arena hears that music, you're that wrestler. Oh. We have our music now. We have made it.
I loved it. I'm proud of it.
Woo! It's going to be Fred's ringtone.
Yeah. I'm really
so
proud
glad.
Of it. Yep.
I'm so glad. Well, you know, a ton of credit to Kevin, man, too, because we were regularly in touch, you know, building about this. And, you know, when I was sitting down to work on the intro on the theme song, I asked him, you know, what songs do you guys like? You know, like what type of music, you know, hip hop music would you like for me to rock the instrumental of? And, you know, he said that Andy loves Eminem. So I was like, okay, well, let me start combing through some songs, and that My Name Is song just it fit perfectly.
You had me until the Kevin part. Now
I'm only. We know you're just being magnanimous. He did nothing, and that's just what a good guy does.
But yeah, man. But hey, I'm just glad it came together, fellas. And just like this season's coming together, the past are looking good. So I'm just excited about the rest of this month and looking forward to January.
Do you have anything you'd like to pump, or are you going on tour or selling anything?
Beg your pardon?
Easy. Keep it clean. But anything you'd like to promote?
Well, you know, I would encourage people to go to to go to therealmrliff.com. That's the new website built by my wonderful assistant and partner, Amanda Macchia. And, we got all types of T-shirts and hoodies and limited edition vinyl that from my own private stash that comes autographed. So, just go by therealmrliff.com, check out the website, and of course you can catch me on Twitter at therealmrliff, on Instagram therealmrliff. That's about it, fellas.
Excellent. therealmrliff.com. Thank you, Mr. Liff.
All right, thank you all, and I'll stay tuned in, of course.
All right.
Thank you.
That was
really nice.
I mean, I'm just tickled.
Really well
I'm
done.
Really tickled. You know,
you really are, because I've never seen him act this You know that word Wes Welker once used to describe Matt Cassel? I don't know, a little bit. He's acting that way. Like, he's a little kid who's acting a little lame.
I just thought it was really cool.
It was. I've never seen you been this appreciative. You usually don't care about anything.
Yeah. All right.
Just an update for those of you watching at home. The NFL is announcing their new NFL personal conduct policy, which has been passed unanimously by owners. Roger Goodell at the podium, and right to his left is Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
Yeah, who's to the right? This is the new guy that's going to be doing everything?
Michael J. Bidwell, Cardinals president.
Oh, okay.
So no.
I'm just wondering why he and Kraft by his side. Because Kraft is finance and he's broadcast.
He's also the man.
Yeah.
No, I know.
I mean,
but
Kraft might be the owner with a capital T. Yeah.
He has the most power with the least
baggage
of any owner, I think.
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones has, you know, marquee power, but he's also got the plastic surgery and the sort of the issues.
Surgery as baggage?
He looks funny.
I mean, the Robert baggage with him is he's controversial.
Robert has done it naturally, has gotten himself in shape, has worked hard.
So it's all about looks for you.
What are you talking about? You don't think that Jerry Jones looks a little ridiculous since the
I do, but what does that have to do with anything?
It's everything. When you're selling something, the visual is important, as is the reputation. Now you have a woman, I'm guessing.
So Goodell's thinking, okay, we're announcing this new conduct policy. Who looks good?
Robert, come on over here. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry that I hold Robert to a higher standard than Jerry Jones.
Obviously, you don't. It's all about looks for you. It's all superficial.
No, it's looks. Yeah, it's power. It's the most influential owner. That's why I think he's there.
Paul is the one.
See? They got Charlotte Jones Anderson up there instead of Jerry Jones. She's the Cowboys executive VP. She looks like she's had a little work done, too.
Yeah, I know. I was just about to say, it doesn't look like there's anything artificial about that. And it might not have anything to do with the fact that she's a woman either. I mean, I'm just saying.
She's not a bad thing. She's had a lot of work.
A lot of people say that at this point, the NFL would be well served to have Condoleezza Rice as the commissioner.
Well, I said that all along. Yeah. That
she's
was
got
the
a
layup.
Too much power.
Too much power?
Condi.
Yeah. Did Robert speak, I wonder? Because everybody else is speaking. He's just standing there to the side.
Looking very thoughtful and pensive.
Well, maybe they said, maybe I was right, and it's all about his look. He doesn't need to speak. He just stands there and he gets the job done.
Oh, for God's sakes. Eric, what do you got to practice?
Your mic's not on. Turn his mic on.
A lot of Nielsen people emailing in.
Nielsen people?
Oh, yeah, we got another guy. Looks apparently don't matter. Oh, boy. He doesn't have cancer or anything, does he?
I'm not going to say. What do you got?
Good news. Chris White was back after missing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
LeGarrette Blount, not there, and I think that might have something to do with
We talked about that earlier. Just to recap, he was offered a deal by the judge of potentially 50 hours of community service at a local youth center, which would have to be done before, I believe, February 1st, it said. So he's
in Pittsburgh,
in Pennsylvania. We were talking about a couple Tuesdays, maybe, or days off, or the bye week before if you do get a bye.
And if you don't,
you go to jail, brother.
That's going to be tough.
As I said, even if you got to fly down and do two 25-hour days.
Wait, what?
Oh, Robert's going to the podium.
And Dominique Easley, not at practice.
I'm kind of sick of him.
Yeah. So Blount and Easley?
And Easley.
That was it?
He does nothing. He's out there, and then he's not out there.
Yeah. Getting frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't
and not
play
him personally.
Chandler Jones.
He didn't play a whole lot.
Well, tell us, were they in pads?
They were in shells out on the lower field where the Revs usually practice.
So they were outside.
Yeah, they were. And it's a...
Jeez.
Well, Andy tried to cough up along
it's
there.
A whooping cough.
Yeah. A wet, cold rain. Obviously wet because it's rain, but a cold rain.
A dry, cold rain. It's not the rain that gets you. It's the moisture.
No. We actually didn't see stretching today. We showed up and they were already in drills.
That?
Yeah. It was nice. It was a lot easier actually to do attendance because you had position groups and it was made for a lot quicker attendance taking. Yeah, Chandler Jones still out there practicing.
Is that why you saw Tim Wright?
Oh, wow. Bringing up old wounds there, Perilla.
Wow. Old
wounds. Scab has been picked.
See, this is what I said to Dwight. I made a comment to Dwight upstairs last week.
No one knows who Dwight is.
He got really upset at me, and I said, Eric is right. It hurts more coming from me, doesn't it? and he said, I think so.
It does, yeah. Who's Dwight?
No one needs to know.
Actually, people do know him. If you watch the game where he got blown up.
He's the guy that got killed by Emmanuel Sanders.
How come I don't have any headphones?
There's some right in the middle here. I don't know why, but
those are the good ones that you didn't. Because you, yeah,
I still have the ones that were attacked by a Wolverine.
Wolverine.
The Wolverine or a Wolverine?
All right. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, so why don't we go back to the phones? A lot of people hanging on here. Let's first go to Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
Since we're running out of time, I'll make it quick. I just want to address a couple of things that you've brought over the last couple of days and then ask a question. With regards to the offense struggling, let's just look at it as them getting the playoff lull out of the way, done early rather than wait until the playoffs.
It's a good way of looking at it. That glass half full.
Let's not hold
no idea what he just said.
Half empty because I drank it. I can't talk.
Let's not hold the interception against Brady. Manti Te'o just learned from his girlfriend how to turn invisible. So that's what happened there. But even if they do struggle, as Andy said, like, you know, only getting 20 points, the last five games the defense has held, you know, all these quarterbacks to 17.5 points. So, you know, you're looking at a defense that if the Patriots get 20 points, you know, that's not necessarily a loss. But speaking of defense, I thought Jamie Collins actually played better than his game against the Colts in the playoffs last year. I know he had a monster game on the field in that game, but, you know, between pulling together a defense that was down a couple of players, a couple of key players, and running it and holding that offense down, and also making a couple of key plays himself, I thought it was just a huge game for a guy who's, you know, in his second year, but didn't play most of last year. So I just thought it was a huge game for
Collins. He had a good game, and he had a lot of responsibility in that game.
I think if you add in the responsibility, you can argue that it was a better game in the circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
Beatles, physically, maybe that was saying that? I thought you did. But
physically,
I still think
the Colts game was better. But if you add in that responsibility, which I agree with Paul's guy, Bedard, I do think the play-calling responsibility is a little overrated when people talk about it. You know, you're kind of playing the operator game that, you know, you've been playing since you were a little kid. Somebody says something in your ear and you regurgitate it out your mouth, and then you make a couple of adjustments like a Pavlovian dog that you've been drilled into you all week. But I give him credit. He stood up and made plays and got the job done.
Thanks, Dan. Let's go to John in Virginia. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I have a question about our special teams coming up on this Sunday versus the Jets. If we can play the way we did on Sunday, do we have a much better chance of winning it than without them?
Yes. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
But Special teams have been pretty good, John. I agree with you. That's been one of the little...
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while they have a blip. They started the year with a little bit of a blip in that regard. But for the most part, the coverage has been really good. The kicker has been outstanding. The punter has been pretty good. And, you know, all in all, I think the special teams have been a strength
of the
team.
You've gotten plays. Yep. Now, I don't know exactly if you've gotten one, say, every week, but you mentioned yesterday on a TV show, feels like a little bit of that 2001 where you can win a game with defense. And I also think there's that feel of special teams. You're going to get a contribution like you did in the championship era in the kicking game, whether it's a blocked punt, mm-hmm. a big Edelman return, whatever. Yeah. Even a big, you know, coverage play right. from somebody like Slater where, boom, he's down inside the 10 and that kind of flips the field. So
yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Bud?
Oh, yeah.
How come you're not in school?
I'm homeschooled.
Oh, really?
And you're listening to PFW
How do you like that?
Progress.
I don't think it's going very well if you're listening to us.
Is this part of your schooling?
Lunch break. Does your mom do the homeschooling?
Yeah.
And does she let you listen to us?
Hmm? Yeah.
Oh, so is she listening right now?
No, she went to the store.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
So you're home alone.
Hmm?
Is the door locked?
All right. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, bud.
Okay. Starts off with, like, sympathy, compassion, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, is the door locked?
That's funny,
it's like
though.
Airplane.
Homeschool.
You're like Gladiator movies?
Right.
Those don't really go together, those two things.
Yeah,
but that's all right.
Like, you think of homeschool as, like, the dorky, cerebral, like, wouldn't get us.
Well, I think of homeschool, and I think of parents who want to kind of insulate their kids from the nonsense that goes
right.
out.
And we're part of the nonsense.
Right. So we've infiltrated
homeschooling
their barrier.
And PFW in progress would not seem to be a mix.
But, you know, we're surprised every day. Now we cure cancer, we cure depression, we cure other things, and we're part of a strong homeschooling
part of the education system.
Well, we talk about everything.
We do.
Right. With our mouthful. Dimitri.
Demetrius is in Los Angeles. Hey, Demetrius.
That's a reprimand from the old man over here.
Etiquette class for the day. who just uttered his first sentence without burping in the show.
How's it going,
guys? Hey, great.
Yeah. Hey, I want to touch on a couple things y'all talked about earlier. Do you guys think that Jonas Gray and Timms might not get all of the plays yet? You know, people come into New England and don't know everything, or you just know the X, and or you know just only this certain amount of runs. You know, because I'm with you guys. I love Jonas Gray. He does do exactly what Bill said. Like, he's not going to dance at all. Like, you know, sometimes LeGarrette dances, and Jonas Gray does not dance at all. But Timms, if he was on the outside, it could really free Julian Edelman up to just be straight in the slot, just really kind of killing everybody's third or fourth corner.
Yeah. I think your theory holds true with Timms, perhaps, that he doesn't know enough to help out in enough areas. You know, he might be a little bit more one-dimensional. But a running back, I mean, what does he need to know? Take the ball and go where you're told.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. But sometimes.
Don't run with your mouth full.
Nice.
Even though he's so big, it almost doesn't matter that he'll tiptoe a little bit sometimes, you know, because he's trying to find that crease and you tiptoe, and then he's just 250, and a lot of linebackers are getting bulled over.
Right.
He was getting hit against Melvin. Melvin Ingram. Those guys were hitting him out there. You know, you get their head of steam up, get their mind right, the game is on the line, people come after him. And Jonas Gray seems like he's still just, he's a shorter leverage, you know, and he's just still bulling through it.
You don't have to convince me. I like Jonas Gray.
I do, too.
I think he follows his blockers well. I think he's patient. I think he's got quick feet, good balance. I want to see more. That's all. I just want to see more.
I want to see more. And we ran three backs. When you guys are saying that, we ran three backs last year. LeGarrette was the third one, you know, and the fumbling had us all scared. I know everybody was scared, the Ridley fumbling. And with these two backs or this three backs that we have, I don't see a lot of fumbling out of Jonas Gray. Well, he hasn't got the opportunity.
Right, we don't know yet. I mean, he could be, but we just don't know. You know,
we just don't know.
All right, Demetrius. All right, thanks for calling.
I want to just sort of rehash our discussion from earlier real quick, because it seems like it's being painted that I want Timms to play more. That was not my point. My point was comparing I don't want him to play more. I don't want Gray to play more. There are what they are. They're depth pieces. They're practice squad call-ups. They're guys that eventually you may need something from. But my point was, you said, well, he had 200 yards. I want to see more. The counter of that could be, well, he had a long touchdown. I want to see the deep threat more. No, I don't. I want the better players on the field, and the better players on the field are LaFell and the regular receivers and tight ends, and they're LeGarrette Blount.
All right.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't somehow painted. You know how Paul always claims that that's not what I said? I don't want people saying I think Timms needs to play more.
No, but it can definitely – I didn't hear what you guys are talking about, because that's when
we
I was on
all
action. But that happens all the time, and he's generally involved.
Yeah,
because
he's pointing to me.
Because he plays both sides of an argument. Now, I didn't hear this particular one, so I can't say that you did that, but you generally paint someone into a picture that they didn't necessarily paint.
I do that.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
And did you update just the Panthers quarterback situation, where he went from broken legs to no injuries to broken bones that I've never heard of in his spine or whatever?
The Tony Romo injury.
We didn't talk
do
about
Do we know
that.
For sure
well,
he
we
didn't
did
already have those injuries?
That's a good
Is there
point.
Any way he could have had those from football?
And how about this?
It's all a good point.
Take it a step further, Andy.
No, I'm not saying the accident was to cover up the injuries.
I'll take it a step further.
Okay, you take it a step further.
Here,
Paul.
In the preseason.
Here. Oh, yeah.
In Foxborough, he took a shot in the back that they called a broken rib. He missed the first game or two.
Yeah. I like it. We've unearthed it. Mm.
So I wonder.
So really, the accident was just a cover up
Jamie
for
Collins.
Everything else.
I believe it was Jamie Collins.
So he flipped his.
Yep.
All right.
Could be.
Well, he sold it. I mean, you got to give him credit for selling it. They said get an fender bender, and he
well,
went
I'm,
all
I'm, I'm, I mean, he probably, I'm sure he's not going to play this
not
week.
Playing this week.
Not
Derek
playing
Anderson
this week.
Is playing.
But I'm
Anderson
glad it wasn't play. Something really serious.
But they said he could return next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, nobody wants to see a guy get
nobody.
Killed or something.
Unless he's a Jet. John's here.
I
hey, John.
He
what's going on?
Hey, Fred.
Bad guy.
I gotta love your new. I love your new rap.
Did you hear
awesome.
That?
It is
that
fantastic.
Was unbelievable.
Absolutely,
well, he is
unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
We'll play it again to close the show.
That's yeah. just fantastic. What a great job,
Mr. Lift.
What a great job,
the real Mr. Lift.
Now you have all his CDs and.
Oh yeah, yeah I got them all.
Oh, he produced the.
Oh, you should have heard it. It was
really
high.
You probably shouldn't.
Why?
You're gonna get mad.
He's gonna be mad. I'd be mad if I were Eric.
Okay.
Why am I not in the rap?
Oh, he's not. Oh, I'm not in it at all.
No.
Oh, well, that's better than. It's kind of like the show.
I like the way Eric looks at it. That's better than the alternative.
Oh, you thought it was. Yeah, no shots. No references to you in any way.
No, we just had shots. But even the shots he took at us were pretty mild.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing that he could have said about us that we haven't already said about
ourselves. They're not shots.
You can tell he's a regular listener because he's got all the inside jokes going.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, yeah.
Which
he's
is
a
nice.
Legend.
That's cool.
Multi-time award-winning really Best good. Of Boston.
That's very our new cool. theme song.
Fred, I haven't seen Fred this appreciative
ever.
Fred
is
giddy. He's like giddy.
That's because he didn't have to pay for it.
Right. And then at the end of the song, we'll just add, and Eric. And that'll be our new theme song.
I like it. I like it. It works.
All right.
It works.
All right. Well, thanks for listening today. John Rook is up next.
Mike Reese will be in the playbook.
All right.
Yeah, the one and only.
In studio?
Is he going to come down and step inside?
In studio. He'll be stepping inside.
So Mike Reese is here with John Rook. And then, of course, Bob Soucy at 4 o'clock. We will see you tomorrow.
My name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is
PFW in progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain, contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is Andy Hart. My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is The show is
PFW in progress.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.